Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I wanted to ask you, what's the best bit of advice you ever got in life? And chiming in with that, if you could go back in time to your younger self, your little small self, your like 18-year-old self, leaving school, fresh out of school, into the big bad world of college or work, whatever it is, and you could give yourself a bit of advice, looking back now 20 or 30 years later, whatever it is, what advice, in hindsight, would you give yourself? So what was the best, I want to know, what's the best bit of advice you ever got in your life? It could be from your parents, your mum, your dad, gran, whatever, or brother and sister. Or it could be something that you have, a mantra that you have picked up throughout your years and you'd like to pass it on to others or pass it on to your younger self that would have changed your life considerably. Something that you may have regretted that you didn't do, a little bit of advice. Just in one line, give me some advice for life. The number is 087-188-0008. Hi, Niall. Don't let fear of failure stop you from trying. That comes in from John Doran. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Don't let fear of failure stop you from trying. What's that religious one? Not that I'm religious, by the way. I'm trying to remember the religious one. Strength. God, I'm going to Google it. God, give us... Somebody's going to send it in to me now. Give us the strength. Oh, yes. Serenity, isn't it? The prayer of serenity. That's the one, right? And it's a good, even though you're not religious, it doesn't matter. Okay, it says, God, give us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is a wonderful, valuable piece of information for life. There are certain things in this life you cannot change. And there are things that you can change, but you need a lot of courage to do so. And then you also need the intelligence and the wisdom to understand the difference between the ones you can and can't change. All right? Right, give us your mottos for life here. Any bit of advice you would give to other people or advice you would give to yourself if you could go back in time in a time machine. Like H.G. Wells, sit there in your seat with the spinning umbrella behind you. And off you go, back to the time when you were 18 or 16 years of age. And you could tell yourself, your little young self, one thing. What would it be? Text us now and let us know. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. WhatsApp or text. Now, let me go to Stephen. Steve!
You actually said Stephen there.
I know. I'm starting to have a little bit of respect for you, which is surprisingly enough, isn't it?
I used to call you a scumbag
at one point. But whenever, but now, maybe there's a little bit of respect creeping in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a tiny bit.
Okay, let's stop that. It's getting weird. Okay,
yeah.
Steve!
So, yeah, the best piece of advice that I was ever given, this is a true story, I promise you this is a true story. So years ago, there was the one who got away. There was that was a long, long time ago.
What do you mean the one you were actually in love with and got away?
Someone I actually had feelings for and got away.
You actually had feelings, Steve, for somebody?
Yeah, at one point in my life. I was young. I was young once.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, but the only problem was we were arguing constantly. Right. Like, constant arguing. I was a young guy. I was like 18, 19 years of age.
Knew it all.
And the guy who lived next door to me, it was. Do you remember the program Home Improvement?
Right. You do?
Yeah. So do you remember the guy who used to look over the fence and all you ever seen was the top of his head?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. And the guy's name was Sean. And one day, Sean was there and he said, oh, here's her at it again. He said, can I give you a bit of advice, Steve? I said, yeah, go on. He said, women are supposed to be loved, not understood.
Right.
And from that day forward, my life was so much easier.
Right. So you don't, in other words, you just love them and help them and support them and agree with them, but don't ever question them.
No, don't try and understand the problem they're having. Right. Just agree with them and love them.
That's
just
your mantra, is it? And how's that working out for you, your new mantra?
Well, awesome, because I really just never kind of cared after that. So, I know that sounds weird. I just put it... What's the point in caring about what they're arguing about?
But if you don't understand them, how can you possibly love them? Like if they have a problem and they need your support and they're explaining it to you, you don't just sit there blankly and then at the end of it go, I love you.
You do. Trust me, you do. That's all you do.
Because you've got to understand what the problem is before you can support them and help them. Otherwise, you've no understanding of why they're feeling the way they're feeling.
But they don't care about the help that you're going to give them. All they care about is making them feel warm and fuzzy inside. That's all they care
see,
about.
I can see why you don't have a huge relationship success.
They come over and they tell you a sob story and you put your hand on their hand and you go, I understand. In that weird voice.
And then, what's the weird voice?
It's like, the, you know, those people who whisper
I understand. Into the...
Yeah, I understand. It's that type of thing.
And then they feel warm and fuzzy.
They feel
and then,
warm
and then you get
and
to sleep
inside.
With them. Is that it?
Ching, there you go. Now you have it. But I'll give you the second best bit of advice that was ever given to me.
Yeah.
Now, this was from a person who I detest,
which
was my mother. But she did give me a piece of advice was, no matter where you go in life, never bring an arsehole with you because there's always one when you get there.
That's a good bit of advice.
It's an excellent piece of advice.
I like that bit of there's arseholes everywhere, in fairness.
Absolutely.
You don't need to bring one. You don't need to bring one, yes.
You know you're going to... When was the last time you were in Florida, Niall? You were always banging on about it years ago.
Yeah, I haven't been there in about nearly 2 years now.
And I bet you when you went all the way over to Florida... The
there was arseholes there too.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere.
There was.
Only they were just fatter arseholes.
And they spoke differently.
They do. And have you noticed, by the way, that the Floridians all wear spandex? The fat ones all wear spandex.
Spandex. I haven't noticed that now, but I'll keep an eye out the next time I manage to get myself over there.
I was in Epcot. I'm assuming that's where you were.
I've been to Epcot, yeah.
Yeah, which is terrible, by the way. It's
Epcot
not what
is the most boring theme park in the world. But go on, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And what I noticed...
It's good if you have kids, by the way. If you've got young 12 and 13-year-olds who are inquisitive, they love it.
There was parents there, you know, with, say, the two kids.
Yeah.
And they were obese, and the kids were obese, and they'd be wearing spandex that looked like their clothes were painted on.
I remember the funniest story. I was in Disney World a long, long time ago, and it was a father, and there was this kind of 17-year-old son walking behind him, moping. And the father was shouting and roaring, giving out the pay leg. He was about 5 or 6 yards in front of him. And I just knew the son had done something wrong. He was in trouble for something, I can't remember. But the father turned around to him and says, yeah, let's see if Mickey Mouse pays your feckin' college fees. I don't know what he's done, but he's pissed the father off rightly.
Well, I'm assuming because you're Irish, then you noticed as well that when you're over there, they don't swear.
No, they don't.
And if you swear... Like, I genuinely...
Oh, no, we don't seem to understand that we Irish people, because obviously I'm on radio, I'm not doing it at the moment, but in my spare time I do, we swear like sailors.
Absolutely.
Compared to Americans.
This is a true story. I was in Disneyland, the main one, the Magic Kingdom area.
Yeah.
And I was having a cigarette, and I didn't realise that you couldn't smoke in Disneyland.
No, you can't.
And Snow White came over with these wafting gestures around her face, as if she was being poisoned and there was plumes of smoke going at her. And I just put the cigarette out, and I told her to F off.
Right. You told Snow White to F off.
Yeah, I told Snow White, how would you ever.
You don't do that to Snow White, in fairness.
I was kicked out of Disney.
You were kicked.
We're telling Snow White to...
Now, they do have, like, I think four, in the whole Magic Kingdom, which is about the size of Dublin, they have four smoking areas, I think. Or maybe they're gone now. I didn't know that.
What I did know was that they had motorways that connected each park because they were miles away from each other.
I went in, I remember I had no cigarettes, and I was dying for a smoke, and I went into a shop, like a convenience store in the Magic Kingdom. And as you know, every convenience store sells Mickey Mouse's and all this kind of stuff. Anyway... And I said, sorry, I'm just looking for a packet of cigarettes, thinking he'd have them under the counter, you know, obviously where kids can't see them. And he goes, sir, this is Disney World. Smoking is prohibited. We do not sell cigarettes. And I said, but you sell Budweiser. And he went, we do indeed, sir. Would you like one? And I said, no. But I said, you do realise drinking directly and indirectly kills more people every year. We do not sell cigarettes, sir. Please leave the store. And I
don't know. They're so anal.
Yeah. Okay. So your mantra is: women are not meant to be understood; they're meant to be loved.
Meant to be loved, and no matter where you go in life, never bring an arsehole with you. Always
one there. I'm liking these. Aideen, stay there, Steve. Aideen, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Long time no hear.
Nice to hear you, Aideen. So
yes, I'm still here.
Still loitering around. Yes.
Just about.
Right. So, what's your mantra?
Oh, look, my mantra would be, it's never too late to start again.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's me.
And actually, that mantra applies to me this week more than any other time in my life.
did you have a...
No.
Has it happened to you?
I can't talk about it.
You can't say.
No, I can't.
I think I know what you're talking about, Niall.
I can't talk about it.
Well, then I know what you're talking about. You can't talk about it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, and it's a good mantra, because it is never too late to start again, isn't it? And to start a new chapter in your life.
Yeah. And I'm totally speaking from experience on that one, because, like, you know what I do. I have my own little music school, and I do a few other bits and bobs as well with it. But when I went to... I repeated my leave and wanting to go to Maynooth to study music, but at that time you could only do it with arts. And I left after a year because it just didn't work out for me, and I was so upset. And I said, oh, it's the end, you know, and I went off and I got a job in an office. And I mean, it was great. It was good fun. I mean, I made some good pals over the years, and like the firm I worked for were lovely, but like I continued doing my piano at that time and did my teaching exams. And it was around the time I was doing that, and I met my old professor, and he told me, he said, we have pure music at Maynooth now. He said, that's what you always wanted to do. You should apply. And I just jacked it all in. There was 350 people. The degree was only about 2 years old at that stage. And I applied. I was one of 350. I was one of 150 that got interviewed based on initial kind of tests and stuff that we had to submit. Now, I knew nothing about these figures at the time, because had I don't think I would have had the guts to apply.
Yeah.
They took 20 of us
right.
into pure music, and I made it in.
Well done
20.
To you. Well done. I mentioned it before. I'd love to. I've never played a musical instrument.
I want you to sign up for piano lessons in September. I have a number of adults, and I definitely think that you should think about doing piano.
Can I ask that woman a question, though?
Yeah, see, Steve, I've never played a musical instrument. Actually, no, I'm going to tell a lie. I was in a band when I was 17 years of age, a band of four gobshites, and I played the drums. I just basically banged them. I banged these things with sticks just to make noise.
Speaking of drums, you know that gig that was on in the concert hall tonight, Jameson McMarrow?
Right, oh yes, that yes.
This new live gig. His drummer, Paul Kenny, he's the lad I spoke to you about that I used to teach him. Do you remember?
Oh, right,
and
okay.
I got him his first gig in the school musical, and now he plays all over the world.
The
and
School
the
of Rock.
For James. School of Rock.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I like the piano is because I'm a big Queen fan, and I'm a big fan of Freddie Mercury, and he's a great pianist as well.
Mama,
I'll teach you how to play Bohemian
just
rock.
Killed him. Have you got a piano there beside you, Aideen?
No, I don't.
You teach piano and you don't have one beside you, Aideen?
Well, I don't, you know, because, I do have the piano, but my own piano at home is out of tune, so I wouldn't flick that on yet at the moment. Oh, okay.
Aideen, can I ask you a question?
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I genuinely wanted to play piano years ago, and I started to get lessons. It was so confusing. It was like your one hand has to work completely independent of the other
That's
hand.
Right.
And I could never get my other hand to move a different direction than that hand, and I gave up. So you're saying it's never too late. Is it never too late?
No, it's never too late. And the whole thing about it, Steve, that you must do when you're learning how to play the piano is, you have to do lots and lots and lots of hand separate practice so that you build up the muscle memory.
Plenty of muscle memory.
By the way, there's a little thing you can do, because I used to do this when I was taught how to play the drums, because the same with the drums, one hand has to move at a different speed to your foot, right? Okay, so there's a little experiment you can do. So if you rub your stomach with your right hand in circles.
And tap your head.
And tap your head at the same time.
Nope.
Steve, do it. Go on.
I'm doing it.
So clockwise, rub your stomach and then tap your head.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Now, most people, a lot of people can do it, but some people end up rubbing their head or tapping their stomach. So that's how you know if you can get your two hands to work independently of the other. Now, I mean, Aideen, are there
people...
The
piano's a little bit more complicated.
I know, but Aideen, is there people who will just never be able to play the piano?
I mean, there's always people that probably, they'll play... Maybe they'll never be great or whatever. But you know something? For me, it's just, it's do you enjoy it? When you're coming for your lessons, no matter what level you are or what your capabilities are you enjoying it?
And did you ever see your man, the amputee, who plays with his feet?
Who?
No.
There's a dude, he plays the piano with his feet because he's an amputee.
With his toes, like?
With his toes.
No, I've never seen him.
And this fella would be just lash out the music, and you're like, holy Jesus,
I'm trying to move my toes separately here. Nick, how do you move your... I mean, when you don't have individual control over your toes, do you?
He has magic toes.
Oh, right, okay.
You look at Christy Brown. I mean, he used to paint.
Yeah, that's right,
face.
Yeah.
He used to type. You know,
don't slag me down. What was he said in the pub that day? Don't slag me down.
Respect for Da. That was what he said. Respect for Da.
By the way, My Left Foot has to be one of the greatest Irish movies ever made.
An amazing film.
You remember the famous line about when he was asked what was for breakfast?
No.
I can't use the bad language on air because, you know, we're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But go watch that bit.
Right, okay.
Now
you've just ruined it by telling us all, but not telling us what it was. But anyway, Steve, 18, hold on. So 18's motto is, it's never too late to start again.
Never too late.
And that goes, that applies to musical instruments, it applies to your life choices, your marriage maybe, or whatever it happens to be. Jude, you're an Ireland's classic.
Don't play at the dial.
Yeah, nothing, Anne. Jude, you're an Ireland's classic kids. How you doing, Jude?
Grant, not about Ireland.
What's your motto in life?
Time is precious, don't waste it on fuck with.
Right.
Mm, yeah.
That's blunt, yeah, okay. Time is precious and don't waste it on people who don't deserve it, probably, yes.
Yeah, you know, also, the biggest arsehole is always the one in front of you in a queue, you know? Why waste your time on these people, you know?
Yeah, and that's your motto in life, that time is precious. But time is the most valuable thing you have in your life, by the way.
It's the only thing you can't buy.
No, it'll just keep running out, no matter what you do.
If time is so precious, Jude, why do you come on here and argue with an asshole?
I know. I was just going to say, no, Jude would never be able to play the piano because he has no patience.
Consider it a compliment. I'm talking to you. Because I'm not wasting it on fuckwits. And remember, yeah. Now, you were talking about arseholes. Remember, if arseholes could fly, Ireland would be an airport.
You're just full of the joys of spring tonight, Jude, aren't you?
I always am.
If empathy was currency, you'd be skint. Just as well. Do you think we waste valuable time in our lives, Jude? Do you think we make bad, generally speaking, as human beings, do you think we make bad decisions and waste valuable time?
Loads of people do, and the biggest, and I think actually you were talking about having intelligence, Nat, earlier on, and someone was talking about, give me the strategy. I think one of the biggest things is you have intelligence to realise not to waste time, because it's the only thing you can't buy. Time, why waste it on people? You'll never get time back. It's one thing that you can never grab, you'll never have. You'll never have enough of it.
Yeah, you'll never be able to repeat a moment in life.
So what are you saying, Jude? You wouldn't. You're saying you wouldn't waste time. Let's say that somebody comes on your radio tonight and they're disagreeing with you. So you don't want to waste time arguing your point with them. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't mind doing that because I don't mind people disagreeing. No, in fact, it's good that people don't.
You find that entertaining, I think.
I wouldn't have a radio show.
Okay, some numpty in the queue in front of you and he's doing something stupid and he's taking his time.
Walk away. I just walk off.
Ah, okay. I would have expected you to be the complete opposite.
No, I haven't got the patience. I just walk away, you know.
Can you play a musical instrument, Jude?
No, Niall, he would never be able to play musical instruments. He has no patience, and that's one thing you need, both as a teacher and
He said he wouldn't play one anyway.
No, he wouldn't. He'd be useless. In fact, I would say to Jude, don't bother. God forgive me, because he has no patience.
But he's an angry chap. He could play something really cool, like... When you are angry by times, Jude?
No, I'm not angry. It's just my pleasant, you know, demeanour, you know? Remember, hate to love to hate. That's one of my mottos.
Hold on, is Andrea not going against her own advice?
18, not Andrea.
Is Aideen not going against her own advice? Because she just said to him, don't bother, but everybody else has it.
No, the reason I said no, can I say something, Steve?
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever been on the air with Jude, but I've heard him so many times at night. Jude has no patience. He doesn't have any patience or tolerance with anything or anyone.
It's a gift.
And somebody with that mentality will never learn how to play an instrument, because it's one thing you need is patience and time.
You said everybody can start again. You said everybody can start again.
Yeah, not Jude.
I'll tell you, you know something, Steve? He can if he changes his attitude. Because with the attitude...
Can I remind you, he's still here. We're talking about him in the third party here.
I don't need to change my attitude. I think my attitude serves me quite well now.
That's okay, but you would definitely have to try and be... a more tolerant and patient person to be able to take on a musical instrument, because it is a discipline, and unless you're actually prepared,
would anything worthwhile doing is a discipline.
Did you hear, by the way, did you hear my motto in life? I mentioned it earlier on.
Which one?
And I was actually asked this in an interview last week, actually, what if I was to give other people advice, is to value yourself and step out of your own way.
What?
Do I have to say it again?
Hold on. Value yourself, I understand, but step out of your own way?
Yes. Too many people obstruct their own futures. And in other words, like I mentioned, in an example, you're in a job and you have an opportunity to do better in another job. But you're afraid to move because, the job is steady, it pays me a good wage. You're afraid to step away from it. So you stand in your own way.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never suffered that, sorry.
Did you know?
No. Confident person.
Yeah, I mean, Aideen, you understand what I mean, don't you?
I do, because I was in a nice job. As I said, I ran an office for 7 years, and it would have been very easy for me to stay there for another 7 years. But
yeah.
I took the risk, and I threw caution to the wind, and I gave it all up and went back to college. And now, because I had my secretarial skills, I was able to get part-time work as a secretary around my holidays and stuff.
To get a few quid, my dad had
a thing, and I used to do work for them a bit part-time at the weekends, whatever. But it was a really scary thing to have an income like that. And then I had just bought a car and everything else. And then all of a sudden, I had no job. And it was like, okay, can I do this? And I just said, the one thing I said, and it's kind of what you were saying, Niall, I hemmed and hawed right up to the end. And then I said to myself, I'll never get this opportunity again. And that was it.
It might be the wrong opportunity. Might not work out, but it's worth the chance. Jude.
And my dad actually was brilliant about it because he said to me, you have your skills. And he said, if it doesn't work out, he said, you can always go back and get another
Absolutely.
Job in an office.
Jude, would you throw caution to the wind every now and again?
Lots of times. You have to take risks, because the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward.
Yeah, the bigger the risk, the reward.
If you make mistakes are all learning curves. Anyone who never made a mistake is an arsehole.
there's a lot of arseholes tonight for some reason.
You know, you learn by your mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's good to take risks. And that's why we make mistakes, to learn from it, so you don't keep on doing it over again. But you have to take risks, you know.
I understand.
Steve, are you a risk taker?
Of course I am. Look at me, for God's sake.
True.
I mean, have you not remembered the past 6 years on this radio?
Yeah.
I mean,
clearly.
Yeah, you are a risk taker. Now, you have changed somewhat.
I have. So, that lady was about to say something really nice about me. Shut up now.
She wasn't going to say anything nice about
she
you.
She was. Listen. Go on,
Aideen. Say something nice about him.
You said something about risk, and I said, he said something to you that, you know, you remember what I was like, and I said, I think we all remember.
I said that wasn't nice.
Yes, I think you're...
No, I'm sorry.
Well, no, his nickname was, when he came on the show first, come back 6 or 7 years ago, was Steve the Scumbag.
I have the perfect reply for that lady. I understand.
The past is history. It's over. It'll never happen again. The past is history. It's going on to the future. It doesn't matter what Steve was like in the past. It's history. It's over.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right. Yes. Draw a line in the sand.
What did I just say, Niall? It's never too late to start again. Isn't that what I said to you when I came on the radio?
So warm.
Absolutely. But by the way, Aideen, see, one of Steve's motto is women are not meant to be understood. They're just meant to be loved. Now, do you understand what he means by that?
Not really.
In other words, he's trying to say that they're a complicated gender, you know.
Too complicated.
Well, I have to be honest, whether they understand me or not, that's not something that I would be too worried about, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just...
Are you in a relationship, Aideen? Are you complicated?
I'm quite happy not to be. Yeah, I'm quite happy not to be, because I just have to worry about myself.
Right, is there a reason? Do you think that you're a complicated person, or are you easy to get on with, or?
I would say I'm easy to get on with, because like my friends that I've had them since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few of my friends that I haven't been friends with since I was in school, but I think the life I have with my job and that kind of thing, is it's not really conducive to family life.
Kids,
I certainly couldn't do what I'm doing if I had small kids. No,
you couldn't. couldn't you?
No, I couldn't, no, because like, I work until late in the evening, and I just couldn't do what I do. Like, cause, I mean, I, you know,
are you back working again, by the way? I know the COVID.
I am, but we're just finished. We're literally just finished last week, finished classes for the summer. You know, now I was saying to Ruth when I was coming on, I'm sitting here looking at the Department of Education website for music, because I'm trying to predict what's coming up in the Leaving Cert music, so I can give my girlies a few tips, like, you know, that okay. I had for Leaving Cert this year. But
I mean, what questions yeah. would they ask in the Leaving Cert? What does that button do on a piano?
No. It's the actual. So I, as well as teaching piano and theory and stuff, you know, I
you teach history, is it?
Secondary school teacher. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So you can do music as a subject.
This is 18. I think I don't know if I'd be good, because I tell you why. In school, I was awful at history, and I was awful at music history, because we did music history in school, and we also talked about the Renaissance and all that kind of stuff. And I don't have the memory for it. Well, I only have the... See, I'm a weirdo. I only have the memory for things that I like. You know what I mean?
Oh, I get you. Yeah. Well, you see, that's it. Everybody. I mean, my mother used to say that to me. It's pretty, you can't do all your exams in music, because he's got A's in music, like, and I'm shy and everything else, you know? But, like... The thing is, with the music now, there's very little music history attached to it. It's not like what we did when we were younger. Like, there's 50% of it for most kids is practical. And I mean, God, that you can do anything now, do you know?
And will music, the curriculum for music, like history, does that change? In other words, you know, in 10 years' time, will, you know, kids be learning about Ice Cube? And whatever his name is.
On the ball there.
And
Snoop Dogg.
Like, very quickly this year. The way they work it is there's a listening paper, and they study for what they call set work. And then on the listening paper...
When you say that's classical music you're talking about, yeah.
The set works, believe it or not, one of the set works this year is the Beatles with Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, brilliant. That's the one now. Yeah, now. Okay, go on, ask. Here we go. See, now, if I was asked questions on that, I'd be okay, because I'm interested
there
in that. Do you have the questions on Sgt. Pepper in front of you?
Do I have questions on Sgt. Let me see. Hold on a second. I'll get your paper.
Are you set for a quiz here, Steve and Jude?
Yeah, go on, but I'm terrible. The Beatles, I don't know who they are. George Ringo.
I'll give you an example of a question on Sgt. Pepper.
Okay.
Let me have a look now, because I'm just on the website here. Right, so this is the actual Sgt. Pepper track. Okay.
Yeah.
The first question that, you know, they'll get an extract played, and it will be of a particular part. So this is the first chorus
right.
of Sgt. Pepper.
Okay.
And like Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So the first question is, the brass instruments play a 5-bar opening in this excerpt, and they're asked to say, are they playing in unison, which is the same thing as they're all playing the same thing at the same time. Contrary motion, meaning that they're going in opposite directions, or two independent melody lines.
And they're in unison.
So they are in unison.
Yeah, because it goes... That's it.
They're all playing the same thing.
See what I mean? I just passed me Leaving Cert, lads.
Just amazing you are.
Do you know, I know the bit she's talking about.
You just got one question.
No, when the brass goes... Jude, you're too slow.
Is that there's three different things, three different rhythmic values that are given. Okay?
Right, okay.
And it says the dominant rate bass rhythm is, and you're given three different ones, and you have to tick the thing. Another part of it is that they have to actually fill in, there's some notes missing on the, you know, like...
Oh, I'll be lost there, yeah. Oh, so is it, by the way, would they be quavers or semi-quavers?
They're quavers.
Quavers.
Very good, Niall. Very good, Niall. That's very good.
See, Steve? I'm not such a tick after all.
Look, it's music. You were a DJ for years.
I'm going to give you another question.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to give you... Now, this is a very general question, which is the last question. You should be able to answer it, okay?
Right. Okay.
The style of this song is a fusion of pop, rock, and classical. Describe how both of these styles are used in the song. So what would be the classical elements that would be in that song?
In which song are we talking about, by the way?
In the Sgt. Pepper song. Name one thing that's attached to classical music that would be in that song?
The brass work.
No, there's a string section in it somewhere, isn't there?
No, there isn't. Who said brass? I feel like I'm back in the classroom.
That was Jude.
Steve, did you put your hand up and say miss?
No, that was Jude.
Oh, Jude. Jude, you're meant to put your hand up and go, miss, miss.
Yeah, it was the brass.
That was the right answer.
All right, okay.
Brass instruments are part of the classical orchestra, so that would be a thing for the brass. And then the other thing then, like the fusion of pop and rock, so you would have to say stuff like bass, rhythm guitar, lead guitar, drums, you know, all that sort of, and like that driving rock beat, and you've got the snare on the back beat. And so
now here's a question for you. What's the youngest you can start teaching kids at?
Teaching piano. I would usually take them from about first class, because it's really important when they start off that they understand the basic elements of the theory as well, and that they're able to do it.
Okay,
and
what's first class? What age is that?
Well, I suppose it's probably about 7 now. You know, sometimes take them halfway through senior infants, because most of them are 5 starting school now. So, you know, like I was only 5 when I started.
I have a baby on the way in 12 weeks' time. So,
Jay's not another one. Jay's no, another unfortunate child.
Steve, what you should do is you should put them into, when they get to maybe about 2.5 to 3 years old, you should look for what's called a pre-instrumental group for them, where they just do like work with rhythm and song and stuff. And they get a little feel for what the music is like, and they do stuff with percussion instruments and
Here's the bit. Well done, Jude. There was a bit of independence there, not a unison
that
at the
was
end.
But that is the second chorus.
Yeah, right, okay.
Okay, that's the bit near the end, I think, which is the
Well, I think Sergeant Pepper's only recently was voted the best album in 100 years.
Yeah, it's a great album.
I would say the best album I believe in 100 years is Night of the Opera by Queen, but however, there you go. We can all differ.
I know. I would like both of them. I love teaching the Beatles. This particular course is actually, if they're doing the alternative course, they do 3 songs from Sgt. Pepper. They do She's Leaving Home as well, and When I'm 64.
I think we should just leave these two alone. They're having a bit of a romance.
Many years from now. Yeah, sorry, Jude, what did you say there? You muttered something there, Jude.
What did
you
say?
Octone Baby is one of the best albums.
Octone Baby. I wouldn't walk across the road to see you two.
No, I don't like you two.
I wouldn't walk across the road.
Can I tell you who I like?
Yeah, Steve, what's your favourite album of all time?
Go on, take a guess.
I am the Nolan Sisters.
Oh, would you stop? you're not far off.
Pink Floyd.
No, the album is No Fences by Garth Brooks.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus, I hate Garth Brooks.
Ain't going down till the sun comes up.
Hey, I won many a karaoke singing that song.
Right, here we go. I'm gonna off the top of my head, my top 5 albums. Night of the Opera by Queen. Sgt. Pepper's, I'll put it in there. Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
Yes.
Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Queen 2 by Queen. Fleetwood Mac Rumours. How are you doing? Are we all in agreement?
Yeah. You're a bit old now.
Yeah.
What?
It's like old music.
Jude, do you like any of that stuff?
Fleetwood Mac.
What about Queen?
Yeah, Queen are
amazing. Mm. They are amazing.
They're early stuff, not the stuff more recent.
I've seen them live years ago. Oh, in Slane. Oh, that was way back in my youth. I've only seen them once, and they were brilliant.
I've seen them 5 times live. Well done, yeah.
You know, and that was fabulous, absolutely brilliant. And they were great, but they wouldn't have been my favourite band. I said, I like you too.
No.
U2, and then U2 again, and maybe Russell Crowe, Johnny Cash, Chris Christopherson.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he does sing, Aideen. Not very well, mind you. He does sing.
No, I love Russell Crowe, but not as a musician.
I'll tell you who's surprisingly a good singer.
Who?
I'll tell you who's surprisingly a great singer. And I didn't realise this. He sings reggae, Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Never heard him.
He's back on the scene, but he's not doing acting anymore. Now he's singing.
You know who's also an amazing singer? Kevin Spacey.
Oh yeah, but nobody talks about him anymore.
Yeah, no, he's coming back. He's making a comeback to TV.
Really?
Yeah.
He
wasn't found guilty of anything in the end, so he's coming back to TV. I believe he's in some Netflix thing.
Is he
Netflix or something? He's coming back, Kevin Spacey, isn't he? Some Spanish TV show.
How could you ever show your face again, though?
But Kevin Spacey, he is just... he. What happened was he made the movie Beyond the Sea, and which was the story of Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin, yeah.
Yeah, and he made the movie. And it was he did all the singing himself, and he was so good, he actually went on tour then with the band.
Sing the song there, Niall, somewhere beyond the sea.
Okay, hold on. I get him singing it now. Hang on.
Don't know Beyond the Sea. You probably know the Robbie Williams.
Okay.
Somewhere Beyond the Sea. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to play it there, but here we go. I'd play a bit of it. He's a crooner. A crooner.
Like my dad.
This is Kevin Spacey singing.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
So he actually did sing all the songs in the movie himself. If you haven't seen the movie Beyond the Sea, watch it. It's a great movie.
Oh, he's brilliant. It's
he has the Rat Pack vibe, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Very good.
So, and he sings Mac the Knife and all those other songs as well. He's all the crooning songs. But he went on tour then with a whole orchestra and band across America. Full tour, doing all the music. It was amazing.
No, he is. He's very good. Bobby Darin was great, though. I mean, the music is great anyway.
Who was he married to, Bobby Darin? Peggy Lee, was it?
No. But no. He was married to one of those really famous... God.
This is like listening to a conversation in the Norton home, by the way.
You wouldn't want to do it. My dad is mad into crooning, and you know, he has this thing. Like, if I ever say to him, "Oh, you know, you're painting me face doing this," he goes, "It's on the game," and he always says that to me. And I think, "You're always saying that," and he goes, "It's a song," and I said, "No, it's not." He goes, and
that's right, it is a song. It's all in the game. There is a song. Yeah,
put it in. Many's a tear at the fall, but it's all in the game. And geez, Niall, he has me singing it now, and I sing it all the time, and I absolutely love it. It's a great song.
Give us a note. Come on, give us a note.
Ah, no, Jesus, I'm not singing on the radio. You must be joking.
You couldn't be any worse than Boylan.
Jude, what's your favourite song of all time?
Thing to say.
Jude, what's your favourite song of all? You're going to tell me you two, aren't you? But go on.
No, well, apart from Who's Going to Ride the Red Horse, I like that song, Sunday Morning Coming Down, with Chris Christopherson.
Right. That went over my head.
He has been old.
Chris Christopherson's dead, I think, isn't he?
No, he's not.
No.
Oh, he's not. He's still alive. Is he all right? Okay, sorry about that. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, what's your favourite song of all time? Jesus is a friend of mine.
Yes.
Have you not heard Jesus is a friend of mine?
No.
Ah,
he's
not hold on.
A friend of mine, I can assure you.
Okay, if you've not heard Jesus is a Friend of Mine, I'll give you a quick listen to it, okay? Here we go. This is Jesus.
Ew.
Listen. It's sang by a Mormon family. They're like...
Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is
my
friend.
Oh, my God.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Hear the words.
Listen.
Taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat. Jesus is a friend of mine. You have to see the video. You honestly have to see the video. If you go to YouTube.
I'm going to look for that as soon as I get off.
They're
the phone.
So happy they are.
They look like a bunch of weirdos.
On the best of drugs.
That is priceless.
Listen, guys, this is Steve, Aideen, and Jude. Thank you for entertaining me there tonight. Thank you very much indeed. All right.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.